turn to your other neighbor and say, it's showtime. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Lord, we ask now that you will open our minds and speak to us clearly, for we ask in Jesus' name, amen. John had been preparing for months. This year he was given one of the starring roles in the school play. Anybody ever been in a school play? For the good or the bad, you've been in it. Day and night, night and day, he practiced his lines over and over and over. Everywhere he went, he practiced these lines at school, on the bus, in the living room, in the shower, practicing so that he would have those lines perfectly. His brothers and his sisters were so tired of hearing him rehearse that whenever John would walk into the room, they would walk out and go the other way. He knew his lines so well that at the rehearsal, as he was watching the other students rehearse their parts, he would laugh at them because they weren't as good as he was. They didn't know their lines as well as he did, so he laughed at them. Then came the night of the play. The gymnasium was filled with hundreds of parents and family members and guests from the community. John stood in the back behind stage listening for his cue, listening for his turn when he was to come out center stage. But as they got closer, the scene got closer to his starring role, something strange began to happen. John could now feel his heart begin to thump inside of his throat. John's stomach began to go up and down as though he were riding on a roller coaster, and his forehead, for some reason, filled with sweat. You can do this, he said to himself. You know these lines, you've been rehearsing them over and over and over. You can do this, he said to himself. But nothing seemed to make the difference. Suddenly, the drama teacher's voice broke through his concentration. John, John, get ready, it's your turn, she said. But John's legs felt as though they were jelly, and his heart was racing a mile a minute. As the scene changed, the house lights went dim. All the lights in the house went dim. The spotlight came on him, and he heard his teacher say, action. But John did not move. His teacher looked at him again, and she said, John, action. But John's feet were as though they were cemented to the floor. Finally, the teacher looked at John and she said, John, firmly in her voice, it's showtime. But John's world turned black. His mind went blank and all he could do was stand frozen in place with his eyes and his mouth wide open. He panicked so badly that the teachers had to come from behind stage and pull him off, drag him off stage, and allow another student to finish the rest of the play in his stead. The next day at school, at his locker, John heard the voices of the students mocking him. John, action! And then they would stand real stiff, eyes wide open, mimicking what he had did the night before. John, it's showtime! And their legs would wobble back and forth. His teacher came out and she said, John, that's okay. You'll get them next time. And John went away with a smile. You know, the Bible says that there is a time for everything. You've read that scripture. There's a time for everything under the sun. And like John, there are times in our lives, Pathfinders, when we are called to, what's that word on the screen? When we are called to action, but too often as a church, when we hear it's showtime, we sometimes too fail to rise to the occasion. The other day I was invited to go watch a movie, but I cannot stand, one thing I can't stand most is sitting through a movie that's terrible. Anybody like terrible movies? I can't stand sitting through a terrible movie, so what I do is I go on this website, Plugged In Online. Parents, it's an awesome resource. It gives you a breakdown of the movie, how many curse words are in the movie, what the scene, spoiler alert after spoiler alert, tells you everything you need to know about that movie. My wife, on the other hand, she'll just grab any movie and just watch it an hour and a half in. She'll say, this is the dumbest movie I've ever seen. I says, why didn't you read the trailer? Why didn't you see about it before you watched it? I like to know exactly what I'm going to watch before I watch it. And as I was looking up this particular movie, don't judge me, it was Avengers. As I was looking up this particular movie, It began to go through the plot about good versus evil, about the good guys that are at war against the bad guys. And the more I read about this plot, the more it started to make me think of another movie that's playing right now in the world. It is, in fact, the greatest action movie of all time, playing around the world, not just in one theater in Silver Spring, not just in one theater in Los Angeles, but this movie is playing around the world even as I deliver this message today. The Bible tells us about this movie, and it tells us about the plot of the movie. But let's first take a look at who the main characters are. Main character, let's go through the cast of this movie. What does that say up there? Who's the main character of the movie? This movie that the Bible tells us about, the main character is the Godhead, comprised of God the Father, the omnipotent God, creator of all the galaxies and all the universe, a God that has always been and forever will be. A God that you can't even say his name. No man has ever seen his face. The Bible declares no man has ever seen the Father. God the Father is the leading character in this movie. God the Son of God, Jesus, is the second character, part of the Godhead. Now, what we sometimes fail to recognize is that in heaven, Jesus was in the role as Michael the Archangel. Somebody say Michael. Jesus, the role that he played was Michael, the archangel, the commander, the general of all of the heavenly armies, also with all power, with all authority, and with all might. And when he came down and took on the form of humanity, he became who we know and have come to recognize as Jesus. But what's so awesome about this is that Jesus, when he was on the earth, was also Michael the Archangel. Does that make sense? He was kind of undercover. He came in a different role. And that's why Jesus, I imagine, he says in the Bible, "Why did you doubt? If only they knew who I really was. Why do they question me and doubt whether they can pay tuition? Why do they doubt whether that they'll make the bills, make ends meet toward the end of the month? If only they knew who I was, they wouldn't worry and they wouldn't fear." Remember when the people came to take Jesus away and Peter pulled out his knife. You remember that in the Garden of Gethsemane? Jesus, Michael the Archangel, said, "Put that knife away. Don't you know that I could pray to my Father and right now he would send legions of angels to come and to protect me, to come and to deliver me, but it must be this way." Jesus, the Son of God, creator of the world, starring in this world's play. And finally, the sweet Holy Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit who isn't in bodily form but can penetrate walls. True action movie. Who can penetrate our hearts and our lives and fill each one of us with the power of Jesus, the sweet Holy Spirit. Genesis 1:1, in the beginning it was God, as the children's story shared, who created the heavens and the earth. Also starring in this play are the heavenly angels. They are sent to protect God's people. I love this picture. I've showed it before. As we're sleeping, as we're at play, there are heavenly armies and legions of angels who are sent out by the Son of God to protect his children. Hebrews 1:14 says, angels are only what? Servants, spirits sent to care for people who will inherit salvation. And another verse we learned in Sabbath school, Psalm 91:11, for he will order his angels to do what? To protect us wherever we may go. Even right now, this room is filled with invisible angels. Filled to capacity, wherever the gospel of Jesus is being declared, angels from the throne room of heaven fill up and saturate the sanctuary, filling these empty pews where someone wanted to sleep in this morning, filling in the pews. Angels are in the house of the Lord this morning. Then we have Satan, former high-ranking angel who rebelled and caused, the Bible said, even war inside of heaven. Satan is the source of all bad, of all evil, of everything wrong that takes place in this world. It is Satan who is the source. Oftentimes we want to blame God. It is Satan who is the source of all evil in the world. It is Satan's goal to be worshipped. Satan's goal to brainwash each one of us into believing that he is good and that God is bad. It is Satan who wants to take over each one of your Pathfinder minds through such songs as Dark Horse by Katy Perry, using music and using media and TV shows and movies to saturate and to brainwash your mind, to download his character inside of your mind, to fill you with violence, to fill your minds holy, to fill your minds with corruption and evil things. The Bible says, how you are fallen from heaven, O shining star. Son of the morning, you have been thrown down to where? Thrown down to the earth. You who destroyed the nations of the world, for you said of yourself, I will ascend to heaven and set my throne above God's stars. Satan said, I will preside on the mountain of assembly far away in the north. I will climb to the highest heavens and I will be like the Most High. And as the Godhead has a mighty army, Satan is also the captain of an army that is comprised of the demonic spirits. How many of you know that there are demonic spirits at loose, set loose on the planet? Even in this sanctuary this morning, there are demonic spirits trying to get you to go to sleep. Trying to distract your mind, helping you to conjure up your plans to go to the lounge tonight in D.C., to play your video games Mortal Kombat until 1 and 2 o'clock in the morning. There are demonic spirits that have been set loose on this planet, and it is their goal to cause trouble everywhere. Somebody say everywhere. Everywhere. To cause chaos and to cause pain and suffering, to take away all happiness there is on this planet. Wherever there is peace, Satan sends demonic spirits. You ever try to ride to church and everything is going well? And by the time you get to church, you're so tired of arguing and yelling and cursing at each other. As Pastor Rice says, don't look like it don't happen, like it hasn't happened in your car. Like it hasn't happened in your home. Wherever there is peace around the family dining room table, that is where these demonic troubling spirits are sent to cause trouble and to cause issues. Even inhabiting God's people. And finally, in this movie, we're setting the stage, the context, we're laying out the cast, and then God has a message for you. Then we have the human race. Man, woman, boys, and girls, which includes you and includes me, made in the image of God. Did you know that we are the battle zone? Did you know that? We are the battle zone where the enemy is trying to get inside our minds. Both sides of this cosmic war are out to get our hearts. They're out to get our affections, to get the first part of our lives. They're out to control our minds and to control our decisions. It's kind of like two seventh grade guys having a crush on the same girl. I know it doesn't happen to J&A. Two seventh grade guys having a crush on the same girl. The one says, she's such a sweet girl. I know she would make a good friend. The other guy says, friend, I don't want to be her friend. I want to date her to make all the other guys angry and jealous. And then I want to dump her for somebody else so that I can break her heart. The goal and the mission of these two sides is night and day. There's Christ and the Godhead who wants to save your life, who wants to get in your mind and save your life. And then there's the enemy who wants to destroy every part of you. In this movie, like many of the superhero movies out today, the forces of evil are trying to wipe out humanity, especially the forces of good. Look what Jesus says in Matthew 13. He says, here is another story Jesus told. The kingdom of heaven is like a farmer who planted what kind of seed? Good seed in his field. But that night, as the workers were sleeping and snoring and slobbering, the enemy came and planted weeds among the wheat and then slipped away. When the crop began to grow and produce grain, the weeds also grew. The farmer's workers went to him and said, sir, the field where you planted that good seed, the earth, is full of weeds. Where did these weeds come from? Where did this trouble come from? And the Bible says, the farmer says, an enemy. A what? An enemy has done this, the farmer exclaimed. These spirits and the enemy in this action movie that's playing right now all around us, they enjoy causing pain and suffering. They enjoy watching misery of humanity, and they even use other humans to create pain and suffering amongst each other. Has anyone ever been hurt by somebody else? Anybody ever been talked about? And one of the worst things that ever happened to me, well, it hurt the most. I walked into a room and I just heard the people just talking about me. That thing has a way of sticking with you, but what we must remember as people mistreat us, as people treat us differently than how we should, is that it is not the person that is hurting you. It is that person being used by those demonic spirits. Which is why we as God's people don't fight back. Amen? Which is why we don't fight back and seek revenge. We allow the Lord to do the revenge on our behalf. And God commands of us, as we are mistreated on this world, to pray for them. And it is as we pray, those demonic spirits are cast out of those people. Pastor Wright shared the other day that the enemy is threatened by our unity. Do you know that? Do you really, really, really know that? That Satan is threatened, his kingdom is threatened when God's people are united. And so he works with all of his might to divide us. To divide us. Have you ever wondered why it is so difficult for races to get along? Why is it so difficult for races to get along? Why is it so difficult for fellow Adventist churches to get along with other churches? Schools 1 mile up the street talking about rivalries with schools up the street proclaiming the same message. When your Pathfinder group is united, when our church is united, it is then that the enemy sends those spirits of division because he is threatened. And most times he sends it through somebody else. Turn to your neighbor and say, is it you? Turn to your neighbor and ask, is it you? For years in this movie, in the beginning of the movie, the evil forces seemed as though they were winning. We remember Noah. We remember the Tower of Babel soon thereafter, the enslavement of God's people in Exodus. All throughout the Old Testament, it seemed as though the evil spirits were winning. Most of the humans were under the curse of Satan. I'm talking about a real action movie. Most of the humans were under the curse of Satan with no hope of being set free. They could not stop lying. They could not stop stealing and murdering and sinning. But that's when the Son of God stepped in. That's when Jesus stepped into the movie and he said, enough is enough. Yes. And what baffled the evil spirits, what baffled Lucifer and Satan, what baffled the universe is how the Son of God, Michael the Archangel, became one of us. He took the pain that the evil forces put on him, but he lived a perfect life. As they were abusing him and mistreating him, taking on an inferior form, He was an example to his parents, to his siblings, to his church, and to the world. Jesus was kind when other people were mean at school. Jesus was helpful when others were too lazy to help. Jesus gave rather than keeping and hoarding to himself. He lived to encourage other people, to look out for others that nobody, the marginalized, that the others that nobody wanted anything to do with. Those who are unpopular, sitting at the cafeteria table all alone, it is to them that Jesus ministered to. Jesus died like a criminal for a crime he did not commit so that he could set us free. Somebody say free. Free. So that he could set us free from the curse. Yes. And when he went back to heaven, he put up a casting call sign. When he went back up to the command center of heaven as now our high priest, he hung up a casting call sign that reads, calling all humans, calling all pathfinders. This war is not yet over. I need people who will join the movie. I need people who are willing to keep doing the things that I did, to keep loving others, to keep sharing, to keep serving, to keep encouraging, to keep leading others to the way of the good side. I need some pathfinders to join my movie. People who belong to me that will go out into the darkness, that will not be afraid or ashamed to shine their lights for Jesus. Have you ever wanted to be in a movie, anybody? Anybody ever want to star in a movie? I remember I was in a play growing up. I had one line. But for this movie, God says, I'm not just giving you one line. My daughter was in a school play not too long ago, and her role was to dress up as a sheep and crawl across the stage and say, bad. I said, I'm paying all this money, and she's a sheep? God said, the role that I have for you is a big part. Is a huge part with hundreds of lines. It's a movie that is being broadcast around the world, and I want you to be a part of this movie. And here's what Jesus is asking of you. Three things, and I'll let you go. Number one, what does that say up there? Accept the part. God is at work in the world. And he wants you to join in with him for the side of good. To bring others who don't know about Jesus in your schools, in your communities, wherever you are, to bring others to the good side. To give them hope, as Pastor Wright preached about first service, and to show them of a Jesus who is soon to come. Jesus said, as the Father sent me, so I now send you. Some of you might be saying, well, I'm too young. Do you know at age 12, Jesus said, I must be about my Father's business? Jesus didn't say that when he was 42, when he was 64. Jesus said that at age 12, and he's letting you know that you are not too young to accept your part in his movie. Now, the good news is that many of you pathfinders and church members have already accepted the part. How many of you are baptized Christians? Give yourselves a hand. The good news is that many of you have already accepted the part in God's movie. That's the good news. And for those of you who have not, at the end of the service today, you're going to have an opportunity to join in the ranks of these people who are in God's movie. Second thing God asks of us is that you do what? Number two, study and rehearse your lines. Study and rehearse your lines. I don't know if you watch American Idol or you're too holy and you watch Sunday Best, but there's nothing worse than when they come up to the microphone and the music's playing and they're getting in it and they forget their line. There's nothing worse than having that opportunity to deliver a word for God, for truth and for justice, and you don't got nothing to pull from. God is challenging each one of us to study over your lines. 2 Timothy 2:5, study to show yourself approved. You must study God's word for yourself. It can't just be what the pastor gives you or your Pathfinder leaders or your teachers or your parents. You're at an age where you can and you must study God's word for yourself. So that when people are hungry, we have spiritual food to give them. But the good news is that many of you in here know your Bibles. How many of you know your Bibles? Give yourselves a hand. The good news is that many of you have studied your Bibles. Your sashes are filled with honors, with Bible study, and with practical usefulness tools and how you can show others the goodness of God. That's the good news. So we don't usually have a difficult part with accepting our line, accepting the part and studying our lines. But here's where it gets tricky for many of us. Jesus has declared to all of us, it's showtime. Jesus has declared to all of us in 2015, it is showtime. But like John in our story, far too often our legs and our mouths don't move. And here is the message. As cast members in this play, whenever and wherever we see darkness and the actions of the forces of evil, that means for God's people, it's showtime. It's time for us to grab our lights and to get out there into the action. How many of you remember Batman? Anybody watch Batman growing up? Whenever Batman, or what was his name? Bruce Wayne, there it is, Bruce Wayne. Whenever Bruce Wayne saw that bat thing in the sky, what did that mean? It's time for work. It's time for action. And in the same way, whenever we see darkness in the world, whenever we see unkindness at school, hurting of other people, pain, suffering, hopeless, and the discouraged, that means it's time for God's people to mobilize into action. You know, this world is messed up. Did you know that? In fact, Jesus and his word has declared to us that we are in the final scenes, just like Pastor Wright said this morning, in the final scenes of this movie. The first part of the movie is done. The middle of the movie is done. We are now, as God's people, in the last scenes of the movie. Jesus said, it's almost over. Tensions between the police and citizens, you see it all over the nation. Corruption and the declining value of the dollar, even though we want to build bigger and bigger and hoard more and more Federal Reserve notes that will soon have no value. The earth is shaking all around us. Terrorists that can attack and that could strike at any moment, it seems like those forces of evil are everywhere. The forces of evil are working to divide homes, working to take children away from parents, working to divide schools, working to divide churches. And it gets to us somewhat sometimes that we're tempted to say to ourselves, it's too much, just like the opening video. It's too much for us to do anything about it. Just what can one Pathfinder do? What can one church member do? But what we fail to recognize is just how powerful our light is. We don't realize how powerful our light is in this world. You know, the story is told of a man who was in prison, and there was nothing in his cell. He was in there, life in prison, nothing in the cell but a dusty Bible. And as he got in there, he said, I'm not touching that book. Where was God when I needed him? Where was God when I was getting into trouble, when I needed him the most? I'm not touching that Bible. And as the days turned into weeks, the weeks turned into months, one day this man picked up and started reading the Bible. And a few weeks later, he said, "I'm sorry, Jesus." And he accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior of his life. Our light on this team for good has power to transform. Somebody say power. Our light has power to transform. And as things get darker, people are looking for answers. People are looking for answers. Every day in Tacoma Park, they just opened a psychic advising store. As I drive from Laurel to here, we pass another psychic store. People are searching for answers. And I thought to myself, what if the church opened up on Tuesdays and Thursdays for spiritual readings, for spiritual guidance? People are hungry and searching for answers. And they're looking to Oprah. They're looking to New Age. They're looking to yoga and to spiritualism. But the darker things get, the greater our opportunity to shine for Jesus. When we see the disasters, it's not time to sit back and to warm the bench, to gossip about the drum cage. Some of you can't focus on me because there's a cage around the drums this morning. When things get dark in this world and we see signs of the closing events, it's not time to gossip about how long the choir and the praise team sing, how long they sing, to watch the news and thank God it didn't happen to me. I'm so glad that didn't happen to me. But for God's cast members, when the lights go dim and that spotlight shines on us, it's showtime. Turn to your neighbor and say, it's showtime. We were born for this. Did you know that? We were born for this moment in history. The Adventist church was raised up for the last days to deliver a message. We were raised up for this. We've been preparing for this since cradle roll, since primary. We've been prepared for this, and now it's time, Pathfinders, that you carry this light to all the world and let them know. Take them drums to the streets of Baltimore. Let the world see that not every teenager is a knucklehead, but there's some that have focus, that are focused and committed to their God. I applaud the young people this afternoon who are doing a benefit concert. They said, let's get our voices together, raise up some monies from Tacoma Park Church, and send it over to help lift humanity who is suffering over there in Nepal. Pick up our lights and be about God's work. There should be no one in Tacoma Park with 2,000 at Sligo, about 500-600 here. There should be nobody in Tacoma Park that does not know that Jesus saves. You know, there's a Washington Post article not too long ago. It said, where have the Adventists gone? They got the liquor license out here in Tacoma Park. Other things happening in the city. And recounted the history of how Adventists used to fill the city. And the question was asked, where have the Adventists gone? I would love for them to write a follow-up article that we still hear. And the gospel is still being preached as we close. Revelation 17, 1-3. After this, I saw four angels standing at the four corners of the earth, holding back the four winds of the earth so that no wind could blow on earth or sea or against any tree. I saw another angel descending, these spirits that are in this action movie, from the rising of the sun, having the seal of the living God. And he called with a loud voice to the four angels who had been given power to damage the earth and the sea, saying, do not damage the earth or the sea or the trees until we have done what? Until we have sealed God's people. There are angels right now who are, you think it's bad now. There are angels who are holding it back until God's people accept the part in the play and go out and to warn and to witness in our schools, in our communities, until God continues sealing his people. And as it happens, we're told the darkness will not be happy. But let us not grumble about how terrible things are. But let us see that cross like Batman up in the sky. Let us mobilize ourselves. Come to the pastoral staff with an initiative, with an idea on how we can go out and punch some holes in the darkness. And let's get to action. Turn to your neighbor and say, let's get to action. What we need is less talk and more action. Less gossiping and complaining and more action. Less griping over what used to be and what we think should be, and be about more action. Pathfinders, church members, it's showtime. I'm going to close with a story of a little girl who was afraid of the dark, like many of us are. You can play on the piano. Little girl afraid of the dark. And when she lay in bed at night, she would hear the sounds of monsters. We've heard them before. Heard the sounds of grizzly bears. And as the sounds of the trees would brush against her window, they would wake her up terrified in the middle of the night. Then one day her mother brought her a bright night light and told her, whenever you feel afraid, whenever these monsters come out, I want you to shine that light and all of them will go away. The mom said, you see, while you may be afraid of them in the dark, they are even more afraid of your light. And that's God's message to us and to you pathfinders today. The dark forces are terrified of your light. That's why when Jesus would step off of a boat, the demons would run over to him and say, Son of God, have mercy on us. And Jesus would say, go, get out of here. They're terrified of the light that you have. And so three appeals today. Somebody needs to accept their part in the play. If that's you, come on down forward right now. Many of you have accepted it, but someone in here may need to accept God's offer, his casting call, to join in and to be a part of the closing scenes of this movie. And if that's your desire to join the rest of us and to accept this part, I invite you to just come forward wherever you are. Man, woman, boy, or girl, whoever you are, it's never too late. It's never too late. God bless you. Father coming forward. Give him a hand. God bless you. God bless you. Anyone else? You can be seated. God bless you. Fill out this form here. Come on up. God bless you. Accepting God's casting call to join in. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Anybody else? Jesus said, I need you. I'm at work finishing up this work. There's evil all around. Evil all around doing their biddings. But I need more people. God bless you. Give me some love. God bless you. Come on forward. God bless you. God bless you. Signing up today. Anybody else? You want to join God's ranks to go out there and to put some light in darkness when we see tragedies and Amtrak trains and suffering? God's people must get to work. Let's get out there. Anybody else under the sound of my voice who will accept God's call? Anyone in the balcony? Maybe you've accepted it and you put down the mantle as things got a little difficult and you want to recommit yourself to being about God's work. Come on up. This is not a place of judgment, not a place for me to put anybody down, but for you to walk into all that God has for you. And what an example it is to our young people to see us as adults taking the first step. Any young person, maybe you were born and raised in God's church and life kind of blew you out just a little bit. But today you feel the Holy Spirit, move Holy Spirit. You feel the Holy Spirit tugging you, saying, I need you back in church. If that's you, I invite you to come forward. My appeal number two, some of us haven't been studying our lines as diligently as we know we should. And if you want to recommit to studying God's word, I invite you to just raise your hand wherever you are. God bless you. All of us could do better. Amen? We all could do better. Come on up, sister. God bless you. come on up. Studying God's lines. And finally, the appeal of the Lord today. I don't know why he uses human vessels to mess things up. But his appeal, if you don't hear anything else I said today, if your desire is to join with him in showtime and to be about action, I invite you to stand where you are, to recommit yourself to God. God bless you. Pathfinders, go ahead and stand. God bless you. To say, Lord, it's time. It's time. It's time for us to push back those forces of evil and to give hope to this world, letting them know that Jesus is soon to come. Do you believe God's word? That the Son of God, that archangel, is soon to come and put an end to this movie once and for all. Go ahead and grab a hand next to you as we offer up a word of prayer. Lord, we thank you. We thank you. We thank you for choosing us, and we thank you for including us in this huge play, in this huge movie. Lord, there's still work for us to do. And I pray a blessing over those who came forward to re-sign their name and accept their part. I pray a prayer of blessing over, Lord, the ones who raised their hands saying, I need to study the word more. I need to put away the TV, put away Kanye West and all the rest of that foolishness, and focus my mind on the word and the things of God. And finally, I pray through the power of Jesus. I have no power, but through the power and the blood of Jesus, that you will remove any demonic spirit of division in this church, and that you will mobilize us to action. May your Holy Spirit descend and fall afresh on each one of us. May your gospel fill our hearts like fire shut up in our bones. And as we see darkness around us, Lord, may we look to one another and say, it is showtime. Bless each one. Bless us as we continue the rest of this worship service. Seal the decisions made today, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Turn to your neighbor. Give him a hug. Give him a hug. God bless each one of them.